It was from this ticket that Nye had obtained the address of the rooming house. Registered October 30th, the landlady said. Pulled out November 11th. Nye glanced at Smith's signature. The ornateness of it, the mannered swoops and swirls, surprised him. A reaction that the landlady apparently divined, for she said, "Uh-huh. And you ought to hear him talk. Big, long words coming at you in this kinda lispy, whispery voice. Quite a personality. What you got against him? A nice little punk like that. Parole violation. Uh-huh. Came all the way from Kansas on a parole case. Well, I'm just a dizzy blonde. I believe you. But I wouldn't tell that tale to any brunettes." She raised the beer can, emptied it, then thoughtfully rolled the empty can between her veined and freckled hands. "Whatever it is, it ain't nothing big. Couldn't be. I never saw the man yet I couldn't gauge his shoe size. This one, he's only a punk. Little punk tried to sweet-talk me out of paying rent the last week he was here." She chuckled, presumably at the absurdity of such an ambition. The detective asked how much Smith's room had cost. "Regular rate, $9 a week, plus a 50-cent key deposit. Strictly cash, strictly in advance." "While he was here, what did he do with himself? Does he have any friends?" Nye asked. "You think I keep an eye on every crawly that comes in here?" the landlady retorted. "Bums. Punks. I'm not interested. I got a daughter married big. Then she said, "No, he doesn't have any friends. Least I never noticed him run around with anybody special. This last time he was here, he spent most every day tinkering with his car. Had it parked out front there. An old Ford. Looked like it was made before he was born. He gave it a paint job. Painted the top part black and the rest silver. Then he wrote 'For Sale' on the windshield. One day I heard a sucker stop and offer him $40. That's 40 more than it was worth. But he allowed he couldn't take less than 90. Said he needed the money for a bus ticket. Just before he left, I heard some colored man bought it." "He said he needed the money for a bus ticket. But you don't know where it was he wanted to go?" She pursed her lips, hung a cigarette between them, but her eyes stayed on Nye. "Play fair. Any money on the table? A reward?" She waited for an answer. When none arrived, she seemed to weigh the probabilities and decide in favor of proceeding. "Because I got the impression wherever he was going, he didn't mean to stay long. That he meant to cut back here. Sort of been expecting him to turn up any day." She nodded toward the interior of the establishment. "Come along, and I'll show you why." Stairs. Gray halls. Nye sniffed the odors, separating one from another. Lavatory disinfectant, alcohol, dead cigars. Beyond one door, a drunken tenant wailed and sang in the firm grip of either gladness or grief. "Boil down, Dutch. Turn it off or out you go," the woman yelled. "Here," she said to Nye, leading him into a darkened storage room. She switched on a light. "Over there. That box. He asked would I keep it till he came back." It was a cardboard box, unwrapped but tied with cord. A declaration, a warning somewhat in the spirit of an Egyptian curse, was crayoned across the top. "Beware. Property of Perry E. Smith. Beware." Nye undid the cord. The knot, he was unhappy to see, was not the same as the half-hitch that the killers had used when binding the Clutter family. He parted the flaps. A cockroach emerged, and the landlady stepped on it, squashing it under the heel of her gold leather sandal.